January 26, 1993. Mary Pohl. Today in our studios, we'd like to welcome Mary Pohl. Mary, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. It's nice to be here, Charlie.
Can you tell me what's a BA in log, or explain that to us, please?
Okay, it's a Bachelor of Arts in Logopedics, which is the study of speech sciences. And then the Master of Arts is the study of speech pathology, which is what can go wrong with human communication skills. What goes wrong with the way you listen to people, the way you understand them, the way you hear them. What goes wrong with your voice. What goes wrong with your ability to breathe and build speech patterns on your breath. What happens when you actually talk in terms of producing sounds, combining sounds into words. And then what language disorders can you have? Language disorders can be comprehension of language. Do you have difficulty understanding, or do you have difficulty expressing yourself, expressing your own ideas by putting words together in sentences, or by putting sentences together to tell a whole story? And we study this and go on from there.
And you're in the community, Kitigan Zibi Reserve. You work with very young children.
At the moment, I'm working with the preschool children, yes. As a speech pathologist generally, though, I work with anything from newborn babies who are diagnosed with either head injuries, deafness, or cleft palate, right up to people in their 80s who have had strokes or head injuries or some other disease, and it's affected their speech.
How do you diagnose, or how do you pinpoint when a young child has speech problems?
Well, it comes a lot from knowing normal development. We look at normal development of speech patterns in children, and because of years of study, we know what, say, a typical 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old child should be able to do in terms of listening, understanding, speaking, putting words together. For example, it's quite normal for a 2-year-old to have difficulty saying sounds like L or R or S. But by the time they're 5 or 6, they should be correcting those and they should be speaking clearly. And so we look at the children in terms of what they understand at their age level, what they can say, how they say it. And we also look at things like muscle function, muscle movement, how do they manage. And quite often after, you know, many years of experience, you can walk into a room and just by listening to the children, you can identify that one's got a problem, that one's doing fine. If that one's only 4, he's okay, but if he's 6, we better worry about him.
So what are the steps that are taken to correct that?
Well, it would depend very much on the problem. For example, we have, say, a child aged 4 who doesn't understand a command if it's longer than one unit. For example, you could say, go get your shoes, he can do it. If you say to the child, go get your shoes and put them in the bedroom, he'll get the shoes and then stand there looking at you because he can't process that much information. This is the kind of thing we look for. This is what we would work on, developing gradually the skill of the child to understand more and more units of speech, keeping it very simple, doing a lot of imitation, doing a lot of group work at this stage. We'd ask the child to come along and do things with us, playing games. We do a lot of game playing with young children. Perhaps the child can understand but can't produce the sounds. Then I would sit down and teach him how to make the sound. Now, I may need to just say, you know, watch me, listen to me, do it, and he could. I might need to actually move his mouth or his jaw to help him to make the sound. We might need to use a mirror so that he can see what I'm doing and see what he's doing. There are many, many different techniques, and once the child can actually produce the sound correctly, we work on him being aware of when the sound is correct and when it's incorrect. Now, we sometimes run into problems here. For example, if I'm teaching the K sound, like in car or key, and the child is saying, as a typical error would be tar and T, then you say, well, you know, that T is fine if you're saying tea that you drink, but it's not correct if you're saying key when you want a key to open the door. And you have to teach them the difference, and you play games with them, and you have them find all the words that start with T's or the words that start with K's. We do it a number of different ways, depending on what the child seems to need at the time.
What about the time frame? How long does that take? Let's say once a problem has been spotted, what's the ongoing therapy, like the duration of it?
Oh, it varies considerably. You know, some children pick up extremely quickly. There was one little boy that I identified before Christmas. I showed him how to make the sounds, and I explained to his parents that we wouldn't be working on the sounds until this month. And I saw him again today, and he's already using the sounds in words by himself. You know, once you showed him, he took it and he went with it. Now, I've had other students that I've worked with who are 6, 7 years old, the same problem with the same sounds, and 6 months later, they still haven't got it. So it's very variable. There are, you know, so many variables, like, is the child aware of the sound being a problem? Is it a problem to the child, or is it only a problem to the family and the community around him? How much time is spent with the child to improve it? How much encouragement does he or she receive to correct speech? Also, just how fast is any one person able to learn these skills?
So what it comes down to is that you show the parents, you get the parents involved?
I get the parents involved if they will come in and try and show them, because what I can do in a half an hour or an hour a week is not enough. I show the school teachers and the teachers in the preschool, the assistants, what I'm doing. I try, if they've got the time to leave the other children, which is sometimes difficult, to show them exactly what I'm doing, but I always tell them what I'm working on, what program I'm doing with the child. They support me in terms of language growth and development in the classroom. The parents, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, anybody who's working with the child who wants to come in is very welcome to come to see what we do, to see how we do it, to even sort of, you know, have a practice session in with us.
The young teachers that are coming out of teacher's college or whatever, are they trained to spot the problems like this?
It would depend very much where they trained and whether they've trained in things like early childhood education. The teachers, say, who trained down at Algonquin College in Ottawa in the early childhood education do have courses on speech and language development. I've taught some of them. You teach them, you know, at age 2, the child should do this. At age 3, the child should do that. At age 4, the child should be doing something else. And then they can spot, you know, gee, this child really should be doing more. And also, it's very difficult for a young teacher because you're going out and you've got so many things. It's not just speech and language. It's all the other things you've got to teach a child. And I think that's why it's important that I'm around to come in and I can assess every child that they're, you know, that parents say, I want my child seen, even if I don't see there's a problem, I just want it checked out. Because I do have the background and I do have the knowledge to say, you know, this child is just doing fine for his or her age, don't worry. Or this child needs some help.
So what's the difference between your profession and a speech therapist?
There is no real difference. It's a matter of terminology. A speech therapist used to be the common term. They changed it to speech pathologist a number of years ago because therapist implied that you only treated, and a speech pathologist does a lot of diagnosis as well. You know, as I've been explaining to you, we assess how the child communicates, what the norms are, how did they differ from the norms. Whereas if I was just a therapist, somebody else would do the assessing and then tell me what to do. And they no longer train people as just therapists anymore.
Mary Paul, we'd like to thank you very much for telling us about your profession here at Seaquay. And we'll be chatting again in the near future. I'm sure about it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.